everybody. Welcome to Reading Your Way to Heaven. This is Jason. As always with me, Gabe Gutierrez. Gabe, how are you doing?
What's up, Jason? Man, I am awesome. It is Friday, May 8th, right? Am I right there? No, it's 7th. Am I thinking? Am I like, I'm just like worn out from the week or something. That's crazy. But anyway, it's Friday and I am so happy that we're here because who doesn't love Friday? Who doesn't love the weekend? Who doesn't love another day with Reading Your Way to Heaven?
I don't know. And I don't want to know.
Exactly.
If Jason, it's wrong, I'm so good, I don't want to be right.
Jason, how's your week been, man?
It's been great. Like I mentioned on Wednesday's podcast, just been celebrating since last weekend. Had a little party for the girls.
Partying it up.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the actual birthdays for two of my three girls happened on Tuesday, Thursday. So, yeah, you know, we're just enjoying it. And then, let's see, what's going on? We've got... I think tomorrow, there's a baby shower that my girls are going to, and, unfortunately daddy's got to work. So, I unfortunately can't make it. Oh, shoot.
What a bummer. Jeez. Darn. You'll have to offer that up.
I know it's going to be sacrificed, especially since, it's the baby shower it's a ways away. And so my wife and children had to go spend the night at grandma's house because it's so far away. So they've been gone today and then they'll be gone all day tomorrow. So I have to be home alone, man.
I know how much you hate that.
It's
literally the worst.
I'm not going to lie. It is the best. I can't lie. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I love it because it's only, you know, a day.
Jason's just walking around his house in socks, eating cereal for every meal.
You're lucky I have a shirt on right now.
Loving
sir.
Life.
But like I said, it's nice because it's only for practically a day. And the fact that I'm working all day. I worked all day today and I'm working all day. Well, not all day, but I'm working at least half a day tomorrow. So, you know, it's not like I'm just sitting around doing absolutely nothing, but, it is nice to have the peace and quiet for at least a little while, but I do, it makes me enjoy them when they get back and you know, I get to love on them and they get to be the wild and crazy selves. Also, fun fact, just real quick, we also finished school, for homeschool. So, that's also been another fun thing, just to be able to enjoy.
Boy, that
this
is
time.
A big deal. That's great.
Especially when it's, you know, May mm-hmm. and they're already done and they'll be done. And, you know, they're like, cause people are, oh, so when are you going to start them back up? We're like, I don't know.
I mean, we'll take a little break.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's like, you know, give us at least a little bit of time, but. You know, people are like, oh, so you're going to wait all the way until August? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe we'll start in June. Maybe we'll start, you know, July. I don't know. But that's the beauty of it.
What's funny is those same people who are like, really? You guys are homeschooling? How long are you going to homeschool? Are like, oh, so when are you going to start back up?
Right.
Like, aren't you just the one that was like questioning my,
why would you even
my entire way of life?
Yeah. Why would you even want to do that?
Why would anyone want to do that?
I don't know. I mean, parents have been doing it for millennia, but you know.
I know the pros and cons. There are pros and cons of many things, there are definitely a lot of pros mm-hmm. to doing the homeschool way.
Or it's the adage of, okay, when, like you said, it's not only it's, oh, you know, you guys are doing it, but it's also, so when are you guys going to stop doing it? Right. Mm. And that's kind of the other thing. They're like, oh, so, okay. So you're done with homeschool. So next year you're going to put your kids in public school or private school, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
No.
Or when a new kid comes, it's like, oh, okay. Are you still going to homeschool?
Right. You think you can handle that?
It's still going to happen. Yeah. you know, it's still important for our kids to get educated. Call us crazy.
Oh, and that's the other thing too. Like, do you sure you can handle that? Well, I mean, if I send my child to a teacher, that teacher has the responsibility of 20 to 30 kids in a classroom and don't know my child as well as I do, where I have 4 or 5. So, yeah, I think I'll be okay.
Yes. Yeah. And I we say all this. I do understand that there are situations where sending, you know, kids to school for that family, for that moment in time,
of course,
is the best thing for them.
Absolutely.
So we're not dogging that at all. But it is silly, though, how sometimes people don't fully consider this as like a legit real thing that people do.
I mean, to be fair, though, I think small things to COVID, you know, it has become a reality for many parents, and they do see like, okay, maybe this isn't so crazy. Maybe I can do this, or maybe, oh, okay, I see the importance of an education, you know, educating my children, or at least be heavily involved in the raising and educating of my child. I think that is a little side benefit that I have seen more often. And I, like you said, in more of an appreciation to homeschool families and homeschool parents. And but like you said, I think it is the, you know, we've always said, you know, we take it year by year. And if that's what we need to do, you know, send them into a school, public or private, so be it. But I think the novelty has worn off, thankfully, in the greater culture.
Yes. Yeah. I think so too. Jason.
Yes, sir.
So earlier this week, not today, of course, but earlier this week, Monday, it was a feast day of Saints Philip and James. And Monday, like in a few days, it's the feast day of Saint Damian and Malachi. Jason, what's your favorite Saint Philip and James or Saint Damian and Malachi story? Go. I'll give you some choices.
Oh, thanks. I was trying to think of Philip and James, but I really can't pull anything. So I'll stick with Damian and Malachi just because I know that one. Although, sadly, I didn't get to go because I don't know where. Well, he's not buried. Where is he? I forgot which island he's buried on in Hawaii. I don't think it's like one of the main islands, because if I remember right in his story, he went off into one of the secluded islands where they kept the lepers in the leprosy colony. But I could be mistaken. I don't know. But anyways, my wife and I several years ago went to Maui, and I just remember his story. And I was like, oh, man, I would love to go visit his site out there. But no dice there, but that's okay. So I just think, you know, St. Damian's faith in being one of the few American saints and willing to actually do what Christ did and to be with the lepers, you know, and even to the detriment of his own health in catching that virus and dying of that virus, and then inspiring other missionaries and other saints, for that matter, to come jump on board with the needs of that of the island. What's your favorite story?
The leper colony was in Kalawapa.
Okay.
Kalawapapa. That's what it was. Kalawapapa. And Jason, would you consider Damien a first line worker? Maybe a real hero there? Yeah. A frontline worker. Yeah. I totally would too.
Yeah.
I do think I just to kind of piggyback on to St. Damian and Malachi's feast day here, I do think it's really relevant to the situation in which we find ourselves with COVID. Now, we, God willing, seem to be coming out on the other end of this thing. Not everywhere is open to back up for everybody yet, but Hopefully things are starting to ease. I know that for us here in Texas, people in Florida and a few other places in the country, restrictions are getting a little bit more relaxed at the very least. But for many others, I know in Canada, they just went through another big, severe, strict round of lockdowns not that long ago. So I know not everywhere is the same. That being said, we do find ourselves in a time where there's this unknown virus, and we're getting more information and more data about it. But for a long time, that we were being told lock down, stay away from each other. And at the same time, too, there are people who still have needs that need to be met. There are people whose needs who still need to be tended to, who need to be ministered to. And just the willingness here, the model of St. Damien to go to the people, to go to the places where no one else was willing to go, to love in a way and in a place where no one was willing to go love. Just truly the heroic example of his life and the model and witness it serves for us today in our times. To not that we need to be reckless, that's not what I'm advocating for, but just to be willing to see the great need that we people have as larger than any fear we have over a virus, right? Over something that would stop us from being loving.
And the fact that, you know, like I said, you know, his witness of love and being a saint inspired other saints, just like how the North American martyrs inspired eventually Saint Kateri of Tikawitha. Here, Saint Damien inspired Saint Marianne of Molokai. And because of that, and because of his life, we have two American saints we celebrate. So holiness begets holiness if we embrace it. So let's embrace it.
Amen. Let's do it. And let's start by embracing the catechism.
So this is kind of a big chunk here.
It is a big chunk.
But it's not too bad. So 355, paragraph 355, paragraph 6, man, and then 356 all the way to 361, in the image of God. So basically 355 starts us off explaining man. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then it just goes on to explain how this section here is broken into four parts. And so this is the first of the four parts. He is the image of God, that being man. So in the image of God. And then it goes from there. So setting all that up, Gabe, where do you want to take us in this first Roman numeral, in the image of God?
Yeah, no, I really loved this section. Just the whole idea here that we're created in God's image. And even just to go right before that, there was a line in 355 that in his own nature, he unites the spiritual and material worlds, that in the nature of male, in the nature of man, God unites in the spiritual material worlds, because man is not just spirit. He's not just physical, but this body soul composite, right? And so there's something special about that images God in a special way. And we dig into this a little bit deeper. I think I really loved this entire section just overall. It vibes very much with, you know, why were we created? We were created because God desires to give himself completely to us, and that's fully realized in heaven. And so our response is to give in turn. And so I really loved, in a particular way, paragraph 357, and I underlined literally the entire paragraph. So I'm not going to read everything here, but just the understanding here that it's not being made in the image of God is not just, you know, something, but someone. There's dignity that comes with it. We're called to enter into community with God, but in with other people as well. And then the way that it wraps up, that we're called to offer a God a response of faith and love that no other creature can give in his stead. That God cries out with love to us, desires to give himself completely to us. And our response, our right response, is to say, I love you too, and to give ourselves completely to him.
I really enjoyed how this section was interspersed with, you know, statements, maybe church documents, but then it was also interwoven with saint quotes that tied back to their main point about being made in the image of God. And I think the one that really stood out to me in that saint quotes was the, Basically, there's in 359, right? The saint quote from Saint Peter Chrysologus, where he's tying man with the first man, Adam, but the last man, the last Adam being Jesus, but also that he was the first because he created the first, and that circular but more centrifugal, you know, it spirals downwards, it goes deeper and deeper, but it's still returning back to itself, but at a deeper level. And that's, you know, that's an image that we use all the time in the Catholic Church, right? It isn't just a circular argument, but it's going deeper and deeper, but we're always returning back to the original source, that being God or Christ in this manner. And just to read just a snippet of it, where he says, the first man, Adam, he says, became a living soul, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The first Adam was made by the last Adam, from whom he also received his soul to give him life. The second Adam stamped his image on the first Adam when he created him. So that, you know, made in the image of God, like, where does his image come from? Well, we know it's God. Well, how do we know it's God? Because God became man in Jesus, the second person. The incarnate Word became man. And that soul, that face, everything that we attribute ourselves is personified and is shown to us and is perfected in God. In God, but in Jesus Christ more specifically. That was just so beautiful and is such a great, you know, teaching tool that we can use in our catechesis, because we always talk about how, you know, Jesus is the new Adam. Well, here's a beautiful example that you can pull from the lives of the saints and just really unpack that for you.
I've always loved that imagery. And, you know, it reminds me of the office of readings on Holy Saturday, the ancient homily, that where Christ descends into hell and he encounters Adam, right? It acknowledges that Adam is created through Christ, but then Christ comes from Adam through Eve. I mean, through Mary ultimately, but to bear our humanity, and just the interconnectedness there between God and man, how it's just deeply intimate, this union, and it's beautiful. I really enjoyed that as well. Yeah. And then I guess just to wrap it up there in 361, the law of human solidarity and charity assures us that all men are truly brethren, that if we're all created in the image and likeness of God, if we're all created with this dignity, then we're all created to share in this relationship with God, then in living out our purpose and in giving ourselves completely to God, then we are all united in that reality, right? That we were all created to be together with God, not just me, not just you, but together us and everyone. And so that bonds us. Like, there's something very real there, more than just flowery imagery, but actual, like, reality. And so I just love the language of the law of human solidarity and charity assures us that all men are truly brethren. Like, all of us are destined to share this reality together. And because of that, we're family. Because of that, we're called heirs of God and his blessed life, as paragraph one states.
Hey, when you're here, you're family.
That's right.
I think, like you said, this flows beautifully into the chapter 2 of Acts of the Apostles.
I think so, too. Yeah, the ending of it especially, yes.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I don't want to just, re-echo everything that you just said, because that's basically what I was going to say, too. So let's just, if it's all right with you, we can just flow right into chapter two.
Let's do it.
So chapter two is, again, just packed with goodness here. It's got a lot going on. And basically, it's we start with Pentecost. We then have Peter addressing the crowd in Jerusalem. And then we have really that's it. I mean, I just love how it's like Peter addresses the crowd, but then it leaves it there. But you would think that there would be some sort of separation of after he's done addressing, like the baptism and bringing more, people into the flock or whatever, but it's just Peter addresses the people. But anyways, lots here. I guess, what stuck out to you?
Recently at my work, we celebrated the sacrament of confirmation for some of our students. The bishop came and administered the sacrament. And in the preparation of that, just to go over with the students what confirmation is, what it does, and how in a very beautiful and a very real way, it's a personal Pentecost for each of these people, for each of the members that receive it, right? For you, for me, for everyone. And then to be able to go now dig into sacred scripture and to read, okay, so what actually happened here at Pentecost? And have this like intense, very real encounter of the Holy Spirit. That this is not just, the like, all right, you got it now, but in a very real way, like it's loud and it's noisy and it's powerful and it compels them to action. And like, this is the grace. This is the reality of, this is what the Holy Spirit compels us to do. And as I was reflecting upon this more, I'm thinking about the mission of the church that ultimately Jesus hands out at the end of the Gospel of John, which we covered a few weeks ago. But, the idea here that the Jesus's work on earth was to forgive sins. It was to bring people back to the Father, to teach them about the Father and to minister to them, to meet their needs, and other things as well, but just in a nutshell, those kinds of things. And so he leaves, but that work still needs to be done. And so before he takes off, he says that I'm not going to leave you alone. There's going to be another one that comes. Right. And then on the day that he rises from the dead, he enters that upper room, he breathes on them, says, receive the Holy Spirit, as Father sent me, so I send you. And so now, like, now it's your job to go do these things. And so the Holy Spirit now comes and changes their lives here in the second chapter of Acts. And I just think that's like important to realize and hang on to, that the Spirit doesn't lead us to passivity. It doesn't let us give way to cowardice or to fear. But rather, it pushes us out of our boundaries, to share love, to share the good news with the world around us, and I loved, again, seeing Peter at the head here, that the 11 are there with him as well. It's not like he's by himself, but still, Peter's at the head, and they are responding to the call of the Holy Spirit in coming out at this time where all these nations happen to be, and to share this good news, this truly good news with them, which ultimately culminates in baptism, of course, for the forgiveness of sins, which of course is the work of the church.
And to that, where you ended right there is where I'll pick up is, and this is the thing I didn't realize in my commentary. I mean, I knew with regards to the apostles getting up and speaking and people of all different tongues and of all different countries and origins could understand what they were saying. And I knew it was always about, this is like the reversal of the Tower of Babel, right? And it also ties into what we were just saying about the catechism and that our faith in Christ eliminates all barriers to that. And I know we've talked about on the podcast about how, World Youth Day really personifies that as well. But the little nugget here that I just loved was, and again, it drives this point home about, again, we knew, or at least I knew that, Pentecost was it was like a pilgrimage. It was a feast day. It was 50 days after the Passover. and that this was a pilgrimage event that drew many people into Jerusalem from all over the world. That's why there were so many people there to begin with. But the part here where it says the number of nationalities listed, and I was like, I didn't, because I mean, you hear like the list of nationalities here, and I've always just kind of glossed over them because there are a bunch of names I can't pronounce and don't know anything about. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. But here's the deal, right? It's not so much, you know, the each country in particular, but it's the list, the number, right? The number of listed is 17, which is the seventh prime number, which is used in scripture to indicate universality and perfection. Which is just that, oh man, that's so, like, it's 17, which has the number 7, which is the seventh of the prime numbers, which is perfection. And again, just binding all those up, bounding up Christ, who is universal, who is perfect, and is going to move heaven and earth to draw as many people as he can to himself. So I just, that was the first thing that was just really cool to think about.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really beautiful. We, in the early days of Reading Your Way to Heaven, whenever we were going through the Gospels, I remember we'd remark whenever we see like the words of Jesus saying, repent, you know, and be like, huh, I can't help but notice that he's not saying, hey guys, how's it going? You know, you want to come watch a video series you know, just like the soft selling of the church,
hey,
right? That we seem to find ourselves in.
Do you want to play some dodgeball?
Oh my gosh, right? Yeah. Hey, how about you come to a book club or yes, we need to be warm. We need to be inviting. We need to be welcoming. It's not bad to have those things. Those things are not bad things. But the thing that Jesus does, we see modeled here again in the voice of Peter. And it's the same thing we see in the prophets of the Old Testament. It's what we see John the Baptist do. And it's leading with a message of repentance, right? That he shares the reality of Jesus and the sacrifice that he has made and the reality that you all are the ones who killed him. And they realize the error of their ways. They say, what do we do? And Peter responds, repent and be baptized. Not, well, come along for the journey and we'll talk a little bit more and, we'll share this and we'll grow and we'll fellowship together. And like, no. Like, you're asking me, what do I do? Here's the answer. Repent and be baptized. And when you look in the catechism of the Catholic Church, when it comes to sins and mortal sin in particular, the only thing that can redeem mortal sin is repentance and forgiveness. That's ultimately it, to be sorry, to be truly sorry, to want to turn away from that sin, to ask God for forgiveness and to receive that forgiveness. And that's done, that first conversion of that is done in baptism. And so it's necessary. It's a great act of mercy that Peter is doing here to share this reality with them. But it's a message that we can't forget. That when we shared Christ with others, are we also sharing this message of repentance and forgiveness so that they can be liberated from their sins as well?
To that point, I remember a friend of ours, you know, he was a teacher and kind of, like we were kind of joking about where, you know, instead of so worry about like, oh, dude, is our Gaga pit good enough? Like, I don't really care. There was a friend of ours that was a teacher and in a Catholic school. And, you know, one of the things I loved that he would do is he would talk with the students and then he would just straight up ask them to say, are you baptized? Why or why not? And I mean, he taught theology, but he just realized, like, if I'm teaching about theology, we need to make sure that it's not just head knowledge, that this is moving to conversion, to repentance, and ultimately to baptism. And I'm not living out what God has commanded me to do to all of us, to go and baptize, to go and teach. Well, he's teaching, but is he calling for repentance and baptism? And so, and he said, you know, that was the one of the greatest entrances to conversation with the students. Some of the most difficult conversations with certain students, but ultimately the most fruitful in the long run. And ultimately, you know, by the end of the school year, not only did the kids know their faith, but more importantly, they knew that their teacher cared for their soul and not just for them to pass the class. And, you know, again, I think for us that work in the church, are we more concerned with butts in seats or people in our groups and in our ministries, or do we really care about their souls? And are we preaching Christ crucified? And are we living that out every single day, myself included? Am I acting, behaving, and living in such a manner that demonstrates that? And that's what I, you know, got out of when I was reading this and seeing Peter doing this, having the courage and realizing, you know, this is the same man who was frail and scared and denied Jesus and did all that horrible stuff, but he's also the one that did this. And what was the difference? The Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? I have the same Holy Spirit that he did. Mm-hmm. So I better get to
work. I know, that's right.
Yeah, man, great stuff. I'm just kind of looking through my notes here. Yeah, I think that's good enough.
Yeah, you were sharing. I was remembering, you know, years ago, Penn Jillette, the magician, was on CNN back when Piers Morgan had a show there. And Piers Morgan's a British, what would you call him, journalist, commentator. And he's Catholic, or grew up Catholic. Penn Jillette is an atheist. I remember them talking about God and religion, and Penn making the remark here of that, like, if this is real, if this is really what we believe, that baptism does what it does, and that Jesus means what he says, then he doesn't take offense. He respects people who share truth with him as an atheist, because there's consistency in the conviction there, the consistency in the beliefs. And as you were talking, I was thinking about that, just that statement there, that, you know, if this really is what we say it is, then are we living that reality? There should be a sense of urgency to share the truth. And do we have that urgency? Are we living our lives in a way that is going to put a target on our backs, but that's okay, because the target's there because of Christ. And so he can be glorified in that as well. Like, it just, yeah, it was a good, like, I really appreciated what you were sharing there. And there's a place for examination there for sure.
And the last thing that I have is, and actually I flipped the page and I realized there was a third. I knew I wasn't crazy. I was like, I could have sworn there was another, like, subheading. And I just forgot to turn the page. It was the life among the believers. I'm not crazy. And just their livelihood. And this is where G.K. Chesterton, I just think about him. And because people talk about different economies, whether it's a capitalist society or a socialist society. But one of the other societies that doesn't get mentioned a whole lot is a distributionist society. And G.K. Chesterton, kind of pulling from Acts of the Apostles, would be kind of his go-to when people are like, you know, what does that mean? And why do you believe in this? And he's like, well, I just follow what the apostles followed. And Acts 45, where, you know, they sold their possessions and the goods and distributed them to all as any had need. And it's just basically that solidarity, again, going back to what the catechism was talking about, of just looking after your neighbor, taking care of the needs for the poor and for those that needed it for that time. So it was that. And the this is really the last thing. And I know we've talked about it before, so I won't spend too much time on it. But I would be remiss if I didn't point out one of my favorite verses that I use all the time is Acts 2:42. Again, tying back to the catechism. In verse 42, after all that, he says, and they held steadfastly to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. And so that right there is the four parts of the catechism. Held steadfastly to the apostles' teaching, i.e. the creed, and fellowship. But again, this is not fellowship in the sense of what we were talking about, of like, hey, you want to, you know, have a bake sale and come hang out at the fall festival.
You want to grab a slice?
Yeah. No, this is actually living out your faith, which is in the Ten Commandments, and the moral life, a life in Christ with your brother and sister, the breaking of the bread, which is the sacraments, and then ultimately into the prayers, which is the fourth part, Christian prayer. So it's a beautiful insight and understanding of why the catechism is broken into its various sections and different four parts, and where did we come up with that? Did the church fathers just pull that out of their butt? No. This has been around since the time of the apostles, which is, again, just reassuring, and just reassuring and assurance of what we're standing on is solid ground, and it has been thought very carefully and thoroughly, and it gives me great peace, great joy, but ultimately faith in the one true Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
I don't have anything more to add unless, yeah, perfect. Well, guys, thank you so much for spending time with us every week here at Reading Your Way to Heaven. We'd love it if you could please visit our website, readingyourwaytoheaven.fireside.fm. Drop us a line, say hi. Feel free to come join us on our Discord server. Let us know where you're from, maybe if you have a prayer request, just anything to help us to get to know you a little bit more. We'd love for that. We really would love to pray for you. So please don't be shy about any prayer intentions or needs that you have. And then finally, we'll see you next week. I can't wait. I can't wait until then. Love you. Bye.
Bye.